And each and every one. In speaking about Job, Job is an unusual book in the Bible. First book written, and probably written by Moses. In 42 chapters, it's unusual in that the way it sets up, God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, oh, anybody would serve you if you had a hedge around them. Let me get to him. And unfortunately, in some ways, the devil got to him and took a lot from him. You know, sometimes I think people make a mistake by thinking the devil will leave you alone if you don't serve God quite, you know, strongly enough. The devil's not going to leave you alone no matter what. So what we need to do is be a better warrior than he is. And how can we do that? In Christ alone. No other way. Through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. The devil's a liar. And if he tries to tell you that, you know, he'll let up on you, he won't. He wants to take you to hell. But God, Jesus came to set us free. And we're free in him today. But the book of Job doesn't necessarily talk about how to reach out and win souls, but it's about the Christian's life, staying strong for the Lord. And don't give in to the devil. Don't fight him every way you can, because he's going to do everything he can to destroy you. That's his job. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. We have no ally as believers with Satan. He wants to kill us. Years ago, when Evan was 3 or 4 years old, he was in a tunnel at the pizza, Round Table Pizza on Camden Avenue. And some girls were flying through there, much bigger than him. And he come down, he said, that girl tried to kill me. And that's, I mean, he was just learning to talk. But the thought was that we're making too much racket here. So the thought was that Evan was kind of up against it. This makes too much noise. I'll turn it off and go back to the other one. Yeah, the idea was that that Evan was overcome by bigger kids and just, you know, just having a hard time with it. In the book of Job, we need to understand that we're going to go through difficult times, and all right, how's that? We can live with that. Okay, so getting into the book of Job, we're gonna see that there are difficulties in life, but if we hang with the one that will take care of us. The devil's a liar. He's not on your side. Jesus died for you. He's on your side. Praise God. We're going to read this entire chapter. And it says, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I have not understood. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, let me speak. You said, I will question, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This is Job saying, when I see who you are, I realize how low I am. Now, there's a lot of churches today preaching that you're the most awesome rock star ever. In light of who Jesus is, we need to take the same position as Job. And if that's offensive to you, I'm sorry, that's the truth. Because in comparison with the Lord, we're really nothing. And Job said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Not only that, but that repentance leads us to a place of victory in Jesus that the devil cannot shake or mess with. And it was so, and so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz and the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right. And I want to emphasize that. There's a lot of people that are saying today, thus saith the Lord. And a lot of them sound like the commercials that come on TV for $19.95 and then they double the offer at the end. What does that tell you? It wasn't worth $19.95 to begin with, but they're going to charge you a second handling charge, so watch out for that, $4.99 or whatever, right? And so, but any promise that someone preaching and teaching and saying, if you give me this, then God will give you the world, you know, send me $50 and you'll be a millionaire. God has not promised that. But one thing that God has promised, that if we individuals faithfully follow him, he will bless us and he will strengthen our lives. And if we come and humble ourselves, he'll bless us. But what God was saying to these guys is, you had all kinds of theories, but you don't understand me at all. You don't have me down. You don't understand. So for what you have spoken of me is wrong. But my servant Job, he has spoken what was right. Now, therefore, take for yourself 7 bulls, 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, and I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Job was understanding who God was, and he repented. And these guys were coming off like counselors that knew everything about God, and the problem was they did not know God. Job knew God. In the beginning of this chapter, God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He's amazing. God didn't say that about these other guys. And Job went through all the troubles and the toils and remained true to God. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, and went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses. I'm going to read what he lost in a bit. And when he prayed for his friends, indeed he gave Job twice as much as he had before. I'm going to read that again. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave him twice as much. The only question I have is about the friends. What kind of friends are they who try to figure you out and say, oh, you've done something horrible, wrong. You've brought the wrath of God. And God said, you guys don't understand what's happening here. And I'm going to bless Job because he understands me. Years ago, we had a preacher in our church, older gentleman named Brother Wolf. And we had a doctrine going around in this church at that time that said, Brother Wolf is sick because he sinned something in his life. Brother Wolf was probably one of the most precious guys I've ever met. He was German, had still a bit of an German accent. And he was a tough guy. Somebody tried to hold him up and he withstood him with the Bible. He wasn't a pushover. But he was sick because he was sick, not because of sin. Sin brought sickness to all of us. And bad things happen to good people. That's kind of hard to take. But good things happen to bad people. That's kind of hard to take as well. But that's the way life is. But when you get God, the blessings that you get of God will make you rich and add no sorrow. So then Now, after God had restored Job, all of his brothers and his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintance before came to him and ate food with him in his house. They treated him like a disease when he lost everything. And now they're coming back. And they consoled and comforted him for all of the adversity that the Lord had brought to him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep. What he lost was 7,000. 6,000 camels. What he lost was 3,000. 1,000 yoke of oxen. He lost 500. 1,000 female donkeys. He lost 500. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he lost 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the second one Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. And all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, for their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray today that we'll be encouraged and strengthened by your holy word. I pray today that our hope will be in you. And Lord, that when we see rough times, that we won't just sit down and quit, but that we will get ready for the blessing that is to come. Let us pray. Let us seek you. Let us be faithful to you all of our living. And we bring honor and glory to your name. Amen. Years ago, I was getting ready to leave Calvary Temple as having been the youth leader. And Brother Smith, I'm talking to Brother Smith, who was a pastor then, he said, "Well, you can't leave now." I said, "What do you mean I can't leave?" He said, "Because I'm leaving." His wife was sick, and he said, I've got to take some time and for her. And he said, "You know, Job only went through his trials for a year," and he said, "I think, you know, we'll get through it." And so he said, "But you've got to stay and help the next pastor." That's, you know, and I appreciate his confidence that I could be any help. But the idea is all that Job went through was 1 year. Boy, what a terrible year, though. And the scripture says in Job chapter 1, "Then Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head in mourning for the children. And he fell to the ground and worshiped God. And he said, 'Naked or without possessions I came into the world from my mother's womb, and naked I will return there. And the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" And through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Now, Job said those words after losing all of his possessions and after losing his children. And that, I'll tell you what, that had to be a pain a mile wide in Job's heart. And for anybody to lose anyone is awfully difficult, but to lose all of his kids that were grown and on their own. And it doesn't say anything about grandchildren, but it does say that he lost every one of his children. And the attitude of Job was, this is part of life. And then in Job chapter 2, the devil went back to God and said, "Oh, so anybody can serve you if by just losing things, but let me touch his body. And you'll see a different story. He'll curse you." And God said, "Okay, but don't touch his life. You can make him sick, but don't touch his life." Now, this is hard for us to imagine that God, you know, would be dealing like this. But there was a purpose in Job's experience. And the purpose was to give us hope today that no matter what you're up against, Job lost everything. You know what was so incredible? Is because there would be one servant that come and said, "Job, you lost every one of your sheep. and all of the servants that were tending them, and I'm the only one left. And then while that one was finishing up, another came up. You know, Job lost everything in a heartbeat. And Job still had the confidence and faith in God. You know what? This proves that God was right about Job. He had confidence in Job's faith and trust. After the devil put boils on Job's body from his head to his toe, in chapter 2, verse 9, his wife said to him, "Do you still cling to your integrity and to your faith and trust in God without blaming him?" Here's her advice. I've always termed her the nagging wife. Now, if anybody has a disagreement with that, you can take it up with God, because what I see here, that's nagging. She said, "Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the spiritually foolish women." And as one of the spiritually foolish women speaks, ignorant and oblivious to God's will. Shall we indeed accept only good from God and not also accept adversity and disaster? In spite of all of this, even the counsel of his wife, Job did not sin with the words of his lips. Excuse me. So what did he have left at the end of this big trial? Again, his nagging wife, boils from head to toe, and a new outfit, sackcloth, as he sat in ashes and in pain. And Job still had confidence and faith in God. And his friends come along to supposedly cheer him up, and actually all they did was run him down. And this is a famous thing. There's a lot of revelation in the book of Job, a lot of words that just are real powerful that we use today that bring encouragement and blessing. Job suffered a great deal, but he had a great deal of power with God. And this last chapter that I read shows how God restored Job after this year, or however many months that it was. And the Lord restored him because he prayed for his friends. And again, those friends I don't know about, but I do know this, that God will bless you when you stop looking so inward and start taking care of minding other people. Not that minding their business, but minding their situation and their condition and how are they doing. So in June the 1st, 2009, this scripture inspired me to start a prayer list. At that time, I had 53 entries. Some are single entries, some are families, some are nations. Because I've included in this list America, I really think America needs prayer. I've included our president and vice president. I've included Israel. And I've included the soldiers of America and Israel. Say, what about the others? Haven't included them. All over the world, two nations that I really care about is America and Israel. And I pray for those soldiers that God will protect them. Now, my prayer list has 115 entries. So a family could be, I don't know, how big's a family? I pray for everybody's families as well as them, because you know what? What touches you more than anything is your family. It matters how your kids are doing, your grandkids, great-grandkids are doing. So families are very important. A week and a half ago, and I think that was the 26th of March, I'm not real sure, I was praying, and it was about 8:30, something like that, and I was praying for Sister Kincaid. And I was asking the Lord to give her strength like Caleb, because she's a little older. She was a little older than 80 years old. I thought, I love that, what Caleb says. Man, I feel as good and strong as when I was 40. I'm just 60-something, and I would really, really appreciate being 40 again. Man, I'd be so excited with that. I didn't realize until a little later that Sister Kincaid had passed away at 6:15 Texas time. So when I was praying that God help her to be strong like Kayla, she was already stronger than anybody's ever been on the earth because the Lord had taken her to be with him. I'm going to tell you what, folks, being with the Lord is what we're working for, and it's a great blessing. And because of her life and her testimony, she passed the finish line and is forever with the Lord. And we pray for each other's condition, and healing upon this earth is great, is wonderful. But when the Lord takes us, we're going to receive every benefit that's ever been promised. When I pray for people who are millionaires, because I've worked for millionaires, and I pray for people I work for. Pray for all the church members, and I pray for my people that work with me, people that work with Debbie. And a lot of individuals, family is very important to me, my family, your families. And I have also people that are homeless, basically homeless, that I pray for. Unfortunately, some of those are part of my family. But I pray for health. Years ago, when I was attending our Alameda church growing up, Brother Lundquist always said, health is wealth. Remember that, health is wealth. And I thought, man, this guy has more sayings than anything. But he's right. He was an older guy, and he walked everywhere and rode the bus. And I don't think he ever owned a car. And he got around, went to his work, and he was retired at this time. And he's right about health being wealth. It's very important. He also said 7 prayerless days makes 1 weak, W-E-A-K. And I thought, well, that's true too. So I pray for health, and I pray for provision, and most importantly, the knowledge of Jesus as Savior, to know Christ and to have him in your life. Revelation of who Jesus is. And I believe that this is important. Our country needs prayer. Our city needs prayer. Our state, my goodness. We need prayer, fasting, and deliverance. But God is able, and our responsibility isn't to make everything right. Sometimes I wish the Lord would give me the power to make everything right. How many ever feels like that? Lord, I'd like to make those that are thinking wrong think right, and those that are thinking right be more blessed. But God is able to do that. Our part is praying. We can do that. It's within our grasp. I'm not teaching this or preaching this today because I think you need to pray more. I think most of us pray all the time. It's good to have prayer time, and it's good to every now and again just open your heart to the Lord. And sometimes it's crying, sometimes it's rejoicing, but whatever it is, just stay in contact with God. It's very important for us. And that we need to do this or do that, we need to read the Bible more, anything. I think that we're open to the Word of God. But there is a blessing if we'll follow what God says in our prayers and in our praying. Debbie and I and Bob and Sherry and Jim went to a movie Friday night. 20 years ago, that would have got us kicked out of the church. How many remember that? You couldn't be a PYPA and go to movies. That was out. PYPA is Pentecostal Young People's Association. But now we can go to movies. So we went to see I Can Only Imagine. And if you haven't seen it, you should. It is absolutely an awesome movie. And it's written about that song, Only Imagine. It's very well done. I appreciate those that made the film and the people that acted in it. Everybody, I thought, did a great job. And the song is a good song. But I believe God has a song for Calvary Temple. I don't know if it's written yet, But I think it's a song that's going to lift us up and put us in a higher place than we've been. A song. I don't know who's going to sing it. I don't know who's going, if it's, again, if it's one that's written or going to be written. But keep your heart open to the moving of the Spirit. The song I could only imagine was an experience that Bart Millard experienced his life. It was his life. And an experience with his dad. And heaven is going to be so awesome. And those that are there, Sister Kincaid is there, Matt Routon's there, and others that are, you know, that have just recently gone, they're there celebrating with Jesus. And I'll tell you what, we can't even fathom how glorious it is. But our part down on this earth is to keep loving each other and praying for each other. I want to look in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, and the reason is it gives some more detail. Some extra words thrown in. It's amplified. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. How many sometimes don't feel like it? You got to rejoice in the Lord then too. Delight and take pleasure in Him. And again, I say rejoice. A lot of times things aren't repeated that quickly, but we need to rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentle spirit, that doesn't sound too hard, does it? Let me break down what gentle spirit is. Your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience. I started looking at that list and I thought, uh-oh, I got to work on some things. And let all of those things, your gentle spirit, be made known unto all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So when you go to God, Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, I need. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given. Thank you, Lord, for being present with me all the time. That's one of the greatest gifts of all, that we can walk in the Spirit of God and He's always there. With thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. I like that specific part, because God wants to know what we need, and then when we get what we need, we can give glory to the Lord for answering that request. And then it says, the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus is yours. And I believe that with all of my heart, that when we pray and when we have confidence in God, we will have peace that passes understanding. Where is that coming from? I'm in the middle of the storm, but I'm leaning on God like Job did, and I will not blame God for my situation. I read a part of the commentary by Jimmy Swaggart on Job. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I thought it was pretty amazing. Jimmy Swaggart's a powerful evangelist. They do a great work distributing Bibles, and the commentaries that I read are absolutely awesome. Spirit-filled, and I believe with my heart, something we can bank on. They're very, very powerful. But God spoke to Jimmy Swaggart and said, I'm going to bless you like Job. He said, but God, Job didn't fail you, and I have. That's in the back of all of our minds. Every time you hear Jimmy Swaggart's name, that's in the back of your mind. But God said, everybody has failed me, and I still want to bring blessing to you. We've all failed. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The reason I mention that is not to put down Jimmy Swaggart, but actually to at least clarify where he's at, that he understands he's failed. But we all have failed. And God is still merciful and blessing us. I want to read one more section of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 15 through 23. And again, I'm reading the Amplified Version. It says, see that no one repays another evil with evil, evil for evil, but always seek that which is good for one another. You're looking out for the other people's best interest, for all people. Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Sounds a bit like Philippians, and rightfully so, Paul wrote it. Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. Pray without ceasing. And again, I believe most of us live a life of praying without ceasing. We pray, we seek God, we have issues that rise quickly, and we go to God in our heart. And we go to God. You can pray in the Spirit anywhere you want to. You don't have to be loud about it. You can pray in the Spirit. There's a lot of times I see situations, I begin to let the Lord speak through me, and I feel like that is powerful in dealing with circumstances that I can't necessarily deal with. So, unceasing and persistent in prayer in every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Don't ever forget to be thankful. And I love this. Do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we linger a little bit in our worship. Why? Because we want to see what God wants to do. We're too much in a church age that people just do their thing, do their program, and don't give God any time. You say, well, the big churches can't. Boy, I hope that's not the case. I think every church can, but it's harder. You want me to tell you one more truth? It's harder with a little church. To linger, to wait, because people get impatient. That's not. I don't think that's hard to understand. People get impatient. Well, let's go on. Nothing's happening. Let me tell you this: as long as we get in a hurry, nothing will ever happen. But when we wait upon the Lord, things will happen, and it'll be beyond us. We can do all we can do, folks, and it won't amount to much. But when the Holy Spirit sweeps through, he can change, oh my goodness, he can change circumstances, he can change lives, he can save, he can heal, and he can bring deliverance. All we can do is pray and ask and seek, and that we should do. But we also should let the Spirit of God be God. Stand back and watch. It's amazing what he can do. So we need, do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Do not scorn or reject the gifts of prophecy or prophecies, spoken revelation, words of instruction, or exhortation or warning. But test all things carefully so that you can recognize what is good, hold firmly to what is good, and abstain from the very form of evil. Withdraw and keep away from it. Now may the God of peace himself, I like this, sanctify you wholly. Sanctify you, I'm sorry, I'm quoting another version. May the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. That is, separate you from the profane, vulgar things and make pure and whole and undamaged, make you pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for this purpose, and may your spirit, soul, and body. So what's sanctified? Spirit, soul, and body. All of us. The whole, what would you say? The whole human being. The whole person or individual. Soul, body, and spirit taken care of. And be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this just involves our submission to the Lord in prayer and praying for each other. I think that's important that we pray for each other. There was something I was going to say right here, and I forgot what it was. That's what happens when you get older and you remember something and then you need it and it's gone. It may come back or it may not. Debbie, would you come to the piano? And I want us to, there's a song that I used to hear when I was a kid. Sister Troike sang it. She was a nurse, registered nurse. And she wasn't at our church all the time, but she would visit now and again. And when she did, she would sing this song. And it is, God, Job's God is true. And it says, I can feel the hand of Satan as a tempter press me more, press me sore. He has been before the Father asking leave to tempt me more. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall then come forth as gold. You know what I remember about this song? Sister Troike said, foith. And I always thought, you know, because our church was mainly made up of Okies and hillbillies. Foith, where did that come from? It's forth. But I remember it still today. And she sang this song with such conviction. And it said, for I know that he is living. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. And I feel him in my soul. Aren't you glad you feel him? Job felt God. And then it said, when I look all around me and his face I cannot see, then I know that through the lattice he beholdeth even me. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall then come forth as gold. And I know that he's still living, and I feel him, for I feel him in my soul. I asked Cheryl Freeman about what scripture Dom was thinking of before he passed away. And she said, he keeps saying, though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty amazing scripture to be holding on to. And it, now Don was a man that worked hard all of his life, and at the end of his life, he lost his leg, the part of his leg, and he went through a 22-hour surgery, and yet he still had faith in God. And this is what we have to do, is hang in there. Don't blame God for all of our trouble. How many's brought enough trouble on yourself? God's not to be blamed. God's the help. He's the victory. He's the deliverance. And we need to honor and praise him for that. I'd like us to pray today. And just a prayer for the church. Lord, we thank you for each one that's here today. And I pray that every soul that's here, Lord, will leave this building this morning with confidence and faith in you. We have had trials. We've had troubles. We've gone through different situations. But Lord, we want to lean on you with all of our heart. Because just as you changed Job's situation, you can change ours. Our hope is not with allying with the devil to leave us alone. Our hope is with you to defeat the devil in everything that he brings to us. And I pray today, Lord, that we will want to become a warrior that will stand strong in you. And not doubt you and not blame you for trouble. The Lord will give you glory for victory. I pray, Jesus, that you will bless this church. That you will strengthen us, Lord, in number. And that you'll strengthen us in spirit. Lord, that there will not be a service that goes by. That your spirit is not felt. And that there's not an answer to our prayers. A victory report, Lord, of your power working within our lives. We do bring glory and honor to you. We bring glory and honor to you. You're holy and you're mighty. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. If you're here today and you'd like prayer for anything, you need to know Jesus as Savior, you need strength in your body, anything you need, we want to pray for you. Because I believe strongly that praying for each other will be a great help. Anyone at all, you want prayer. Praise God. 1, 2, 3. Right here. Now, would you stand with me if you can? I'm not going to have the microphone, so it's okay. But we're going to pray for Becky and for Sister Watson and for Henry. If you decide along the way you want prayer, just let us know, because we want to pray for you. Anyone that wants prayer, we want to pray for you. Aren't you glad we don't have to bring seven cows and sheeps and different things? Man, that would be a mess. I thought if the Lord blessed me with all of those sheep and camels and everything, my neighbors would hate me, because there wouldn't be hardly room. We'd have to build levels like in the ark to store them. But God will bless you and hear our prayers because of the blood of Jesus, and not because of all the sacrifices or our good works. It's His grace. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for your touch today. And I pray, Lord, that you'll touch every heart. The greatest thing in all of our life is loving you. And thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross that we might accept you as Savior and Lord. What a wonderful opportunity. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is believe in you, have faith in you, and ask you to forgive us. And Lord, look what we have. We have redemption. We're born again. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you'll touch the whole world with this opportunity, that you'll open hearts everywhere. Lord God, you've given such a blessing to the whole world. And Jesus, we love you for it, and we thank you for it, and we praise you, and we honor and give you glory. Be with your people as we go this week. Give us strength, give us victory. And Lord, let us continue to seek you for ourselves, our lives, and for our family, our friends. And we ask it in Jesus' name, blessings and strength. Amen. God bless you.